This is Calliope Writing Coach, the podcast about writing and publishing success from every angle. I'm Angie Fenimore, international best-selling author and writing coach.
And I'm Michael Sheen, author, platform designer, and marketing master. Episode 31, Book Marketing Buzz. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another amazing episode of the Calliope Writing Coach podcast. You got Michael and Angie in the house.
Well, hello.
And today our special guest is Mr. Brian Feinblum.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're
more like
welcome.
Thank you.
Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Feinblum?
Yes.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right.
So
I love your name. You know, I'm sure your parents bequeathed that to you, but Feinblum, it's almost like find bloom. I find you and then you bloom. I love this. Just FYI.
So let me tell you a little bit about Brian. Brian Feinblum has been promoting traditional best-selling authors, self-published books, motivational speakers, major businesses, leading nonprofits, and influential trade associations since 1989. He currently serves as the Chief Marketing Officer and Senior Vice President for Media Connect, a division of Finn Partners. He has worked with over 1,000 diverse and unique clients across many industries. Brian is instrumental in matching new clients with the right services and servicing their needs. He also develops unique services for the company and is respected as one of the best press kit writers in the business. Media Connect experts promoted by Brian include acting legend Henry Winkler, comedians George Wallace and Jeff Foxworthy, best-selling parenting and relationship expert Hal Runkel, New York Times best-selling business authors Kimberly Foss and Tom Anderson, gossip columnist Cindy Adams, the Anti-Defamation League, Merrill Lynch Global Philanthropy, award-winning photographer Howard Schatz, War of the Roses novelist Warren Adler, and author Lars Anderson of Sports Illustrated. He has also promoted books by Stephen Covey, Ken Blanchard, John Maxwell, Pat Williams, and Mark Victor Hansen. Prior to joining Media Connect, Brian was the senior publicist at Lifetime Books for 3 years. Notable authors included magician David Copperfield and best-selling author Og Mandino. A sampling of the media appearances he scheduled for his author include Oprah, CNN, and USA Today. Brian often presents at publishing events, including the Cape Cod Writers Conference, Thriller Fest, and the American Society of Journalists and Authors. His articles have been published in The Writer and IBPA Independent. He has been featured in Inc.com and other media outlets. His popular book marketing and publicity blog, the Book Marketing Buzz blog, is ranked by both BookBaby and FeedSpot as one of the best book marketing blogs. Brian resides with his wife and their two children in New Rochelle, a suburb of New York City. Welcome, Brian. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's a pleasure.
So how did you get involved in the publishing and promoting industry? Where did that begin?
You know, and you know, you're a published author as well. I kind of want to know what came first, the chicken or the egg.
That's a good question. You know, growing up, I always knew I wanted to be a writer, but I was thinking more journalist, newspaper person. When I graduated college, I applied, and I grew up in New York City, I applied to every newspaper and media outlet anywhere in the Northeast area, and of course got rejected or ignored by everybody. It's always been a tough industry to break into, especially in the bigger market or the biggest market in the country. So I thought, okay, how can I take my interests or my skills and put it to use while I'm hoping to break into newspapers or magazine writing? So I went to work for a small book publishing company, where they gave me an opportunity for everything from editing books to writing press releases and filling in where needed. And that was a great experience to get to understand really the plight of authors. And I saw all the manuscripts that came in, all the queries. I helped with that as well. And you really got to see how a book is put together, the time frame, and the finances behind the book. So early on, I realized, okay, you know, how publishers may be thinking when they're being sent something, and what are their concerns. And while I was doing that, eventually I branched off into specializing in publicity. That seemed to be the thing that took off, because I guess my affinity for the media or my understanding of how the media thinks is what propelled me to stay with that. So for many years now, probably about almost 30 years, I've been promoting books and authors to the news media simply because I just have a passion for the written word, and I love what I do.
Great.
Excellent.
Well, you're kind of a big dog out there. You know, we'd love for you to just really, you know, we'd love to learn at your feet, because the best book can go nowhere. You know, I see this all the time, you know, extraordinary writers that just don't get anywhere, you know, and you really have to be in the business of being a writer if you want to be successful.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for writers, well, there are a number of challenges. You know, one is to get published if they're seeking to get published by a traditional publisher. Another challenge is to participate in the marketing and promoting of their books. Many authors really would just love to write and not worry about the rest of it, which sounds ideal, but is not realistic at this stage of the game. It's been a while now where the author really has to collaborate, whether the author self-published, whether the author works with a traditional publisher or a hybrid publisher. They really have to be their best marketer and champion of the book. No one's going to do it for them. Some authors may spend time doing one type of marketing or PR, such as they may focus on speaking engagements or bookstore signings or library appearances. Others may focus on social media, and maybe even within social media, they just focus on one type. Maybe it's just Facebook or just Twitter or LinkedIn or YouTube. And others do other things. They work on trying to get traditional media or byline articles published. There's dozens of things that one can do to promote and market themselves. And that's both, I think, overwhelming to the author, and also it's something that's very opportunistic for an author. So it really depends on the frame of mind of that author. Will they make the time and effort to promote, market their book? Because books just don't take off on their own. I mean, some do, some get discovered, quote unquote, but that is the rare thing. To get discovered, you have to push that discovery. It's like someone who says, you know, I never have good luck with anything. To some degree, I think people make their own luck. Mm-hmm. You know, in order to get lucky, you have to be in the right place at the right time, which means you have to get out of your apartment or house or car and go do something, meet with people, you know, put something out there and share and network and ask questions when you have an opportunity, and recognize when you have an opportunity that the person you're talking to may actually be able to help you. So it's hard, because sometimes it's two different hats, you know, to be a writer and to be creative and to be introspective, and it's another to be more outgoing and gregarious and, you know, to push people. You know, you're talking about really being a salesperson and also being, you know, a content provider and a thinker. It may almost seem contradictory, because it's hard to be great at both, but you have to be at least good enough at the marketing side, because otherwise, no matter how great your book is, like anything else, it's just going to go away if people don't hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Right. So, Brian, one of the things that we teach our up-and-coming aspiring authors is that they have to be working on their platform prior to their book even being released. How important is that?
Prior to pitching that thing you've got to be ready with the Twitter following, the website, and be that brand, you know, and have it be authentic to you before you're even looking at pitching the project.
Absolutely. That's one thing authors always need to be educated about, is the timeline for things. You know, you. What's the phrase? Dig your well before you're thirsty. And it's kind of the same thing here. You know, once the book comes out, that's like the tail end of things already. The time to promote yourself and market yourself. There are steps you could take 6 to 12 months before that book is coming out. So, you know, number one, and maybe in no set order, number one is every author and writer, even if they're a year away or more from being published, or even knowing what they're going to even write about, they should already begin their social media presence. So start putting a profile up on some of the sites that you think are relevant, like Facebook or Twitter. Start blogging, even if they're short posts, even if you do it once a week or something. But start to build a voice for yourself and a platform. You can augment that by speaking, even for free, at local organizations, schools, libraries, other places. Even if you don't have something to sell, but it's a topic that you're passionate about or you want to establish some sort of relationship with, you know, that's some of the ways you can begin to get your name out there. Of course, you should have your website up months and months and months before that book is out. You know, let's just take an example. If your book is scheduled to be published on, let's say, September 1st, so at least 4 months prior to that, you want what's called advance review copies or galleys to go out to certain people, whether it's people that you're trying to get a review from, like a Publishers Weekly, a Library Journal, a Kirkus, whether it's other media that you feel needs to get it way in advance. You know, some magazines and publications work way in advance, where if you don't get it in by a certain date, they won't even consider it come publication time. So that's one key, that's one crucial area that, that authors and even some publishers don't get the advance review copies and books out early enough. They wait until the book is first published or even months after the book is published, and it becomes too late in a lot of cases. If you're the type of author where you think you even have a shot at, let's say, being on a morning show, you know, and it is a long shot, even for the biggest and best authors, but if you have a shot to get on one of those shows, they don't want to hear from you once the book is out. They want to hear from you 3-4 months beforehand. They look at catalogs of publishers. They look at galleys. They want to know what's coming out so they could plan way in advance if your book is right for women's magazines or men's magazines. Again, their publishing timeline is way ahead. You know, they're, you know, in February, they're already working on the issue that has a May publication date or a June publication date. So you have to think the same way as the media outlets. If you're looking to speak somewhere, even to arrange a bookstore sign, they work months in advance because they have to schedule when you're going to come in, put you in a newsletter, get you on their social media. They have a calendar of events that go, that's set months in advance. They want to ship books from your publisher or distributor or wholesaler. They want to make sure everything is lined up. So everything, if I can impress upon one thing, one consistent thing, is to work way in advance. So to answer your question, you're right that authors should be building their platform before there's even a book. They should have a presence somewhere and then continue to build on it in a variety of ways.
Right, because you have to have that crescendo when the book comes out. You have to be ready, already ready when the book comes out.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely.
And so that you can hop on that train. That's your really your only shot of you know, being successful, and especially in this oversaturated market.
Yes, and it is unfortunately an oversaturated market. You know, you've probably seen some of the statistics. I've seen on average, there's something like 3,000 new books published every day.
Say that again. 3,000 every day.
3,000 new books every single day in the United States. Now, of those books, probably 2/3 are self-published and 1/3 is traditional published. So anyone from Simon & Schuster and HarperCollins and Wiley on down to some of the smaller presses, they produce, give or take, I think close to 400,000 books a year. So they alone produce at least 1,000 new books every single day.
Yeah.
And then you have self-published authors, whether they use CreateSpace or whether they print on demand, or use Bookmasters, Greenleaf Book Group, Morgan James, and all these other ones, Smashwords. You know, however they put things together, that accounts for the vast majority of the books that are published. Now, obviously, the ones that sell are not going to always be the smaller self-published authors. You know, in terms of volume, the majority of books that get sold are going to come from the traditional publishers, even some of the university presses. So obviously not all books are equal, but still, in theory, there are 3,000 new books being published every day, and they're competing with each other for some sort of attention or shelf space, as well as all the other content that's out there with all the, you know, right. I don't know how many blogs are out there. You know, tens of millions of blogs, music being released every day, movies, TV shows, streaming. So it's a crowded space out there for all creative people.
So, Brian, you've had the opportunity to work with some amazing authors and artists. Tell us some stories. What are some stories of being in the right place at the right time and just, you know, that quote unquote luck that came from preparation?
Yeah, by the way, we don't believe in luck.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to admit it, but there's certainly luck in PR as well. So there are times I work with an author, whether big, small, or in the middle, and we think they have a great book and a great timing for it, and like, how could people not listen to this person? You know, they know what they're talking about. You got to hear what they have to say. And sometimes we could pitch it to death. You know, we can literally call 50 different media outlets. We can email hundreds more and even do physical mailings, and we get radio silence. We're like, what's going on here? Like, why isn't this breaking through? And sometimes it's just a matter of the news cycle. You know, you got to wait a few weeks or a month and re-pitch the same people or pitch a different angle and just say it a slightly different way. You know, I've had many times where we contact the media and they say no today, and then 2 weeks later we call back almost the same pitch and they say yes. And all we could figure out is that maybe you caught them at a busy time or they were in a bad mood or who knows what, or things just changed 2 weeks ago that this wasn't on their radar and now it is. So got to be persistent. You know, that's one of my stories or just themes is it's a numbers game. Do a lot of outreach. Be creative in how you reach out to people. Pitch in multiple ways, multiple times, different times of day, different times of the month. They may be on different deadlines or vacations or other things that are going on in their lives. You know, the media, they're human they're humans like us. So one day their kid's going to be sick, or their dog is dying, or they have to pay the mortgage or whatever it is. So sometimes they're under their own pressures or their own cloud or fog of what's even important to them in a given day. And other times they're open to everything and anything. So the beautiful thing is with publicity is once you do break through, though, there you can usually parlay that or use that to elevate and get more media. So
yeah,
I find, for instance, if you hit with a certain, and it depends on the media outlet, but just for your own confidence, once you start to get a few media hits under your belt and you can get a clip or a link and send it to other people, it, by the way, it validates you, it adds legitimacy, you put it up on your website, you circulate it on social media. When you contact a bigger media outlet and you say, hey, I was just on, 10 radio shows, even if you don't name what they are, they all of a sudden think, okay, this person is getting quoted, they're being interviewed, let me take a look at them. So you just never know what's going to impress the media. But I know one thing, media impresses media. So the more media you can get, the better off you are. And so going back to what I was saying before, sometimes we hear radio silent, and then other times, we come out of the gate strong for a book that I think is not that strong, or the author's not that interesting, but somehow, some way, the media likes it more than we do. And luckily, they do, and we just take the message and ride it into the ground until it doesn't work anymore, and then you pick another angle or pick another topic that you can talk about. So another theme is authors have to be flexible in their message. Their book is their baby, and they want to stay true to whatever they wrote, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, and whatever the topic may be. But sometimes you got to stretch it a little, or think of your topic in a different light so you can get coverage, media coverage for it. And that takes some practice, and that's something we help our authors with on a regular basis, is how can we take what you have to say and present it to others so that they'll care about it. And sometimes you just have to switch what you're saying or look at it from a different perspective. Maybe your book is about, how to retire early. So maybe that angle, for whatever reason, is not getting enough attention. So then maybe we make it more of a statement like, or a question, why won't you be able to retire until you're 70? And so now we reverse it instead of highlighting that you retire young. So turning things so sometimes I take the opposite stance. You can't change your point of view. If you believe, for instance, let's say you're a political handicapper and you believe Trump is going to be impeached this year, so you can't stop saying he won't be impeached because you've already said he will be impeached. But maybe it's the way you present it. Maybe you make it, instead of making a statement, you make it a question. Or instead of making a question, you attack someone, or you state a trend, or you become contrarian on something else that gets people's attention, and then you can work your message in about what you really think. So you just got to be open and flexible. It's almost like dating, right? You in the end, you want to date and be with the person that you want to be with, but early on, in order to just get that date or to get to a second or third date, you have to be a chameleon. You gotta be something beyond what you already are in order just to have that dialogue take place.
Yeah, totally. And I absolutely agree with that in so many ways. We often teach that most authors will quit after hearing six no's. And
six rejections.
Six rejections.
Is that right?
So persistence is totally key, even in promoting yourself, even after you've gotten a book deal.
Yes.
Or taking the feedback and coming back and rethinking it and, looking at it differently. And, okay, so this didn't work. And getting feedback what didn't work is crucial. But
right.
Looking for the empirical information rather than, everyone's opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, here where I work, at Media Connect, we're a large book publicity firm, and I tell all my publicists, you should assume that you're going to get a vast majority of no's to anything that you pitch, but it's a numbers game. So even if you call 50 people to get 10 yeses or whatever the number may be, I tell them that's fine. All you want to focus on is how many yeses do you get. The no's mean nothing. In fact, the more no's that you get, it means you're getting closer to a yes, because eventually someone has to say yes.
So, Brian, tell me, what does an ideal client look like to you? As an author approaches Media Connect, what are the things that you're looking for to say, wow, this is an ideal client?
Sure. A number of factors. Certainly one, that they have a decent book. Doesn't have to be a Nobel Prize winner or a Pulitzer Prize winner. Doesn't have to be the best ever of its kind, but it's got to be a decent book. It's got to be on a topic that we think is promotable. So in the case of whether it's fiction or nonfiction, it's important to know what the topic is, what the author's background is. Are they qualified to write the book that they wrote? I mean, that's a big challenge. Sometimes authors write about things that they really have no tangible experience that links them to that subject matter. Now, that doesn't mean that what they have to say is not true or useful, but it makes it harder to the media. If someone wrote a book about, I don't know, let's say about investing, but they're not a professor, they didn't work on Wall Street, they didn't even make a lot of money, like there's nothing to validate them that says, I should listen to you about investing. So that would be very challenging. So that would be a flag that would say, I don't know if that's the ideal person I want to work with. But it doesn't have to be the key. So the key is the content, but it doesn't always have to be the best written book. I've had many books where the content's decent, it's at least readable, and it's not like there's a zillion errors or editing miscues, but it's not necessarily written in a way that I would say that's the best writing ever, but it's good enough. And because the topic is strong and relevant and the person knows what they're talking about, so I'm looking for someone who can communicate well in an interview to know that they can do an interview by phone with a journalist or radio or what have you. It's important to know if the person has availability for PR. PR that we would do for someone doesn't mean that they're going to be busy every single day, but it does mean that sometimes in their schedule they have to make time to handle interviews or write byline articles to make sure that they love writing, because one way to get publicity is to submit articles to publications or to post online at various bloggers and websites, and most writers are interested in doing that. I would say what would be ideal is an author that gets stuff in the right time frame. So we can always help an author at whatever stage you're at, even a book that came out a year ago, but obviously there's far and fewer things we can do for an older book or for a book that has a limited genre in terms of how much media would be interested in covering something like that. So there's a number of factors, and at my advice, I always tell authors everything has some level of promotion, that there's always some sort of audience for a book, and there are things you can do to find that audience. But if an author has such a tiny, if their potential readership is so tiny to begin with, or they don't have the right qualifications, or the book is poorly done, then these are all factors that would influence us to say you're not going to get a lot of publicity because of these factors.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. So let's look at the flip side of that. Now, if an author is looking to hire a PR firm, obviously we want them to go to Media Connect first. But PR is kind of one of those things where you can hang a shingle out and say, yeah, I'm a PR expert. What are some of the questions that our authors should ask any PR firm that they're looking to hire?
Sure. That's great. And I've actually blogged about that a few times over the years on my blog, the Book Marketing Buzz blog. They need to ask a lot of questions. First and foremost, what you just said, that anyone can hang a shingle. So the preference should be is to work with more than just an individual. There are many individuals that will say, I'll promote your book, and they may even have some good experience. Maybe they worked for a publisher in the past or a PR firm, and now they're on their own. But the problem is they're on their own. So when they're trying to promote your book, they're also trying to get new business. They're also running their lives. They may be the one responsible for childcare. They may be the ones responsible for doing things around the house or who knows what. So the question is, how dedicated can that person be to your campaign if they're spending so much time just to bring in business and maintain their whatever they're doing? They don't have the depth of resources. They can't possibly have as many contacts as, let's say, a bigger book publicity firm, whether it's Media Connect or somebody else, because, for instance, at our firm, we're always sharing contacts. So no matter who works on a campaign, they get the benefit of knowing other things from their fellow colleagues. So when you're on your own, it's just much harder. No matter how good you are, you're one person. It's like being a single parent. No matter how great you are, I think all things being equal, ideally a child would want two parents to be available, right? And it's not
two
having
hands,
grandparents
two laps.
With them as well and having an extended family. I don't know if that's the right analogy or not. I mean, there are many great single parents out there. But you know what I'm saying? The more resources you have available, the better, and the more experiences. So you want to know, how big is the company? Is it more than just one person? How many years have they been doing this? What kind of books have they promoted? That's also important. If they've never done fiction, then you don't want to work with them if you're a novelist. If you have a children's book and they've never done children's books, you probably won't want to work with them.
Mm.
You want to know what kind of success have they had. Can they show you references, case studies, testimonials? And everyone's going to have a few of those. So the question is, how many do they have, and how different do they look? Do you see the same media placements on the three case studies that they showed you, meaning they only have so many contacts? Mm-hmm. But if you see a variety of placements, and you know that they have all kinds of contacts, And then it comes down, I think, personality. Do you like the person that you're talking to? Because you're going to spend a lot of time with them. It's like hiring a doctor or a therapist or anybody else. You're going to spend time talking to them and trusting them in your book, baby. And if you don't feel comfortable with them, you probably shouldn't work with them. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, it's going to be fees. Are they affordable to you? And is it worth spending a little bit more to get more? Mm-hmm. So you have to think of all these factors. Authors need to, I think, understand there's a short-term payoff and a long-term payoff to doing book publicity. Obviously, the short-term payoff is book sales or getting, you know, immediate publicity that may help them in other ways. The long-term payoff is, okay, I'm branding myself, I'm getting my message out there. You know, one benefit is just helping people. If your book helps people and the PR gets that message out there, well, then you're giving a gift. You're helping people, which is wonderful. Another long-term benefit might be if you're trying to get a bigger publisher or if you're self-published and you want to get a literary agent, obviously the more exposure you get for your book and the more sales, mm-hmm. It's going to help position you to get that literary agent or that publisher down the road. And then a third way, I think, is clear. If you have some other type of business going on where you're a speaker, you're a consultant, or you work at a corporation and you're trying to rise up the corporate ladder, the more publicity and branding that you do for yourself, the better off you're going to be in the long run. It adds more credibility to what you do. It's going to help you in just so many different ways. And that's what I've seen, is that many authors, they benefit long-term from a PR campaign that's mm-hmm. done well. It makes me feel great when I hear an author call me 2 years, 3 years later and say, hey, Brian, because of what you guys did and what Media Connect did, you know, here's where I am now. Now I'm doing 20 speeches a year and I've got this book deal, or, you know, I've been able to even get some media on my own because of the doors you opened up for us. I mean, that's great. That's what I want to hear. That's the ultimate.
Yeah.
That's great. So, Brian, you mentioned a blog. We would love for you to tell our listeners where they can find your blog.
Sure. So it's called bookmarketingbuzzblog.blogspot.com.
And we'll put that in our show notes as well. So is it B-U-Z-Z?
B-U-Z-Z, that's right.
Okay, great.
What kind of things do you blog about there?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I'm a writer, so I've been blogging for almost 7 years. And I just checked. I have over 2,700 posts on my blog.
Wow.
And so I never run out of something to say. I started the blog with the idea of initially having an outlet for trying to help authors and as a branding tool, you know, to position myself in the marketplace so people understand the ideas that I have, the experiences that I've had, and how we can work together. And it's been wonderful. You know, the blog is a real love of mine, but it's work. You know, I understand what authors go through. It takes time. Even though I'm a fast writer and ideas come to me naturally, you still have to write, you still got to input it, edit it, and then circulate it. You know, I'm spending some of my day tweeting out the posts, putting on Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. But the topics are mostly how authors can promote themselves to the media. And then other topics relate to book publishing in general. You know, how can we get more readers? How do we help with literacy? I speak out, of course, for First Amendment rights and against book bans. And, you know, for anything related to publishing and books, I cover, but the vast majority have to do with marketing and publicity. Every year I come out with something called a book marketing and PR toolkit. And I think I've done about seven. Yeah, I think each year I've done them once a year. And it's a collection of my 20 or 30 best blog posts of the year. And those are packed with information. It's almost like a book, you know, everything from, you know, which sites to go to, how to market yourself, bestseller strategies, et cetera, et cetera. I give out a lot of content. I really believe in putting it out there and mm-hmm. helping people. You know, the reason people use a book promoter in the end when they hire somebody is because they just don't have the time or the know-how or the resources to do it all on their own. And most don't have time to do it on their own. And some just don't have the proclivities to do it. They really, it's one thing to speak in an interview if they're not, you know, shy about doing interviews. It's another thing to have to contact people and it's used to confront rejection and dig for lists and write pitches. It's a full-time job.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, Brian, your depth of knowledge is staggering, and we have certainly benefited from it today. If you could leave our listeners with one piece of what they could do today, what would that be?
Well, certainly, of course, aside from reading my blog or utilizing Media
Connect.
Of course.
I mean, that's a given.
But really, what can they do to help themselves? I think it's listening to the type of advice that we just shared today. In other words, and we do this with our lives. We do this whether we're trying to lose weight or make more money or promote our books. We listen to people and it makes sense, and then something happens an hour later where they forget or don't follow through on what they thought made sense. But the truth is, there are a lot of commonsensical steps that if you follow even some of them and stick with it, you will see a payoff. So I think step one is being realistic. You wrote the book. What's your plan to promote that book? And the plan can't be is that it's a great book and it's just going to take off by word of mouth. You've got to create that word of mouth. Another thing I leave you with is diversify. Diversify your efforts as if you were investing your money. They would say diversify your portfolio. Mm-hmm. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. It's true with publicity. Break down publicity and marketing into a whole bunch of things. Publicity can be contacting a library one day or a bookstore. It could be joining an organization to network with people that might help you. Another thing could be reaching out to bloggers. The next day it's podcasts. The next day you're doing your own blogging. The next day, you know, this on and on and on. So think about what are all the things that you can do, what are the things that interest you the most and may have the biggest payoff, and start taking steps to do them and break up what can you do versus a professional. And hopefully together you can collaborate to grow your writing brand.
Wow.
Fabulous.
Excellent. Brian, thank you for what you've given your life to. This is
I appreciate that.
Amazing.
Thank you.
It's absolutely amazing. And man, to all of our listeners, please, please go check out the free content that Brian has put together. He's spent, I don't know, hundreds of hours putting together this blog
yeah.
for you with the knowledge to back it up. And every one of you should be reading that. And I know that I am. I have started reading it and I will continue. I've subscribed and that is amazing. So Brian, thank you for your time today. And
Thank you.
Commitment to
My pleasure.
To the artist. Love it, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for being with
okay.
us.
Okay, sure. And thank you for what you're doing. I think it's great to create this community. It's wonderful.
If you like the show, shoot us some stars. It's all about the stars, baby. And be sure to share the Calliope Writing Coach podcast with your writer friends. You can find more episodes at calliopepodcast.com. Thanks for listening.